We'll talk about the two kids today. Kyle Lauletta out of Richmond, he was just too good a value to pass up there. You know, he's got all the stuff. He's tough. He's not as shy in that pocket. He's got pocket presence, patience, and feel, which, again, those are instinctive things you can't teach. He throws a really nice ball. He's accurate. He has a sense of anticipation and timing, and the other part is he's a runner. He's got legitimate escape dimension, and we're really pleased about that. So he was just too good a value there for us. So we're really thrilled we could get him there. I really expect him to be long gone.
Yeah, with Kyle, I think Dave said it. You know, we want to develop a good and a solid quarterback culture here. This is a guy that's a winner. I think there's some that say he doesn't have enough arm strength. I disagree. I think he's got all the traits, all the things you're looking for in a quarterback. He's tall enough. He's got good mobility. And really, you know, arm strength's about fourth on the list. You have to be a good decision maker. You got to have a sense of timing. And you got to throw an accurate ball, which he does. So he does all those three things well. And he uses his feet to get the ball where he needs to get him. And that's really what I was impressed by. He's got a good set of legs. And, you know, he's tall enough. He's a winner. He's got moxie. He's very competitive. And so we're glad to add him to the group. And he's one of those guys that's going to come in and compete and be as good as he can be. And if at some point he's not the starter, then he's going to do what he can to help the starter be good. And that's what I'm talking about when I say we want a great quarterback room. So I'm really thrilled that we could bring him in and try to develop him and see how good he can be.
And as far as Ajay McIntosh is concerned, he's an inside player, inside defensive tackle. You can never have too much power in there. The kid's got good power. He's a good athlete. And the other thing is, you know, I talk about pass rushing. Everybody rolls their eyeballs at me upstairs. He's got inside pass rush potential. And that, you know, there's stuff going on around that he's 285, 290. He really played at 300 pounds. He had some kind of thyroid condition that got a little out of whack. So by the time they're able to put him on a scale, it was light. I'm not concerned about his size at all. And he's young, and he's got a he's got upside. I know you guys hear it all the time, but this kid's athletic. He's got power, and he has the ability to develop into an inside pass rusher.
Not much more to add. I think he can play a three technique. He can play the critical five technique for us. He's developmental in some ways with his body. We feel like he can be a really, really big man, and that's what you're looking for. And he's got really good skill set and good traits in terms of movement. And he was productive and played well on a really good team. Not to mention he's a high character guy as well. So, you know, we finished the draft with six guys that we all really liked as players. And so we feel really good about him being our sixth.
Dan, I was just mentally
good
going
job.
Through Dan, Ryan, Pat, Jordan.
You talked last week just sort of about that balance between short-term and long-term with the draft. So with Aletta, is that sort of a good example of that? There are probably guys that obviously could have helped you sooner, but just...
You know, where we had him on the board, Dan, you know, you can't... we couldn't pass up the value, you know, very honestly, very frankly, as I always am. I had a GM send me a text that if, you know, they wanted to pull the trigger in the second round, but they get into team needs and whatever. So, you know, at the end of the day, like Pat said, you want a good quarterback culture room, and I think it's going to be really healthy. This kid is driven just like Davis is driven, just like Eli is driven. And, you know, you can't put a price tag on that. So were we thinking long term? Yeah, you have to, because if you don't think long term, you always get into that situation where a guy retires and or you cut him, he's not good enough anymore, and you got nobody to, in line to replace him. It's a very you've put yourself in a very uncomfortable situation. It's what happens.
Pat, was it always your intention to have three quarterbacks at some point? And what does this say about Davis, and does it actually enhance his stature as the number two quarterback?
Yeah, I think once again, to your point, I think it's good to have three quarterbacks. I think this league in our game is about good quarterback play, and I think it's about development of the quarterback. So the longer they're around you, the more they can develop within your system. And so we wanted to go to camp with three, we probably add another one, four quarterbacks, you know, and go through camp that way, and then just see where it goes. You know, for a very long time, I was on teams that we would just keep three quarterbacks active. Another model is to have two and one on the practice squad. So we'll see where it goes. Pick and Kyle has less to do about Eli and Davis, more to do about Kyle. We like the player, and we wanted to add him to our team, and then we just let them compete. The one good thing about quarterbacks is, you know, I've watched it with my son. You know, they're always drafting, or they're in the case of college, they're always recruiting the guy to replace you. So they're used to competition. You know, I don't think you're going to be a very good quarterback if you don't look forward to it. And so there's competition in the room. Kyle's going to be smart enough to learn everything he can from Eli and Davis, and they're going to all try to be as good as they can be. And then whoever becomes the starter, the other two guys help them during the week so that they can perform at a high level. And so that's a long answer to your question.
Would you be comfortable with that going into next season as the backups to Eli?
Taking any snaps, what do you mean?
Like any NFL regular season snaps behind Eli?
No, I mean, we put the best guy in there, you know, and then you can only go with the information that you have, and we're going to try to get them as good as they can be within our practice format and then certainly the preseason, and then just see where it takes us. You know, there's a reason why not all first-round draft pick quarterback makes it, and all late-round quarterbacks don't make it. So you just put them out there, let them play, and see what happens.
How much, if at all, did the uncertainty of Davis not playing a snap last year that you guys could evaluate play into you taking Kyle?
Not at all. Like I said, it was more about Kyle and less about Davis and Eli.
Did his Senior Bowl do something to shoot him up the board for you, or was it the workout then after that? Like, at what point did he
you know,
get up the board?
Really, Pat, it's interesting. The senior, you know, there's a rule of thumb about all-star games. They can't hurt you. They can only help you. And to watch him during the week and then to watch him play in the game, the Cliff Note answer is yes. You know, he was impressive. I mean, he made some throws into tight windows, anticipated things. And for me, that's really what piqued my curiosity. I'd heard all the stuff about him from the scouts, but after watching that Senior Bowl, I said, well, you know, I got to dig into him. Pat's got to dig into him. This substance here, just got to figure out, you know, what it is.
Did you see him in a private workout?
Yeah, we had a private with him, yes. The one thing I would add to what Dave would said about his performance is, when you see the Senior Bowl setting for a guy that played at a lower level of competition, you know, it's the first time where you can see light competition and see how they perform, and he did an excellent job there. And so, and again, not being a coach, that's our real first exposure to the players is at the Senior Bowl. So guys that perform well there, as Dave said, a good performance there, then all of a sudden, you know, we dig deeper, and we found out there was a lot there we liked.
You know, when I was in Denver, John Mobley was at Cutstown, and he just dominated that level of comp. I saw him play a game, and late in the second quarter, he knocked the kid out. I mean, he just waxed him, and I said, okay, I can go home now. And so he got invited to the Blue-Gray game and played well. Handled himself well. Then he goes to the Senior Bowl, and he steps up again. And that's what convinced me that he was a first-round pick. And he had a nice 8-9 year career. So, you know, Senior Bowl helps.
Did you guys call Davis Webb so he doesn't get the perception that this is a lack of confidence in him? Did you guys speak to him after the pick?
No, not at all.
Just come back to
There's no lack of confidence, you know, and he doesn't need to hear that from me.
This point, Barkley was saying a little bit about being a leader as a young player, as a rookie. Just wondering if you guys have ever had a guy like that who comes in as a rookie and can kind of take that kind of role in a locker room?
You know, it's very possible. You know, it's like when I talk to these young kids, you know, they're 20, 21 years old, and I tell them, you're walking into a locker room with 28, 29-year-old men who have families and mouths to feed. So, you know, he's smart. He'll figure it out. He'll, you know, I'm sure he'll understand when he needs to assert himself, so to speak. And he's a very self-aware guy, you know, and it's doable. There's no reason he can't be. Leaders are leaders, you know, leaders are leaders.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. You know, the whole leadership thing and new players, old players, you know, really good older players tend to watch rookies because there's certain things that they may know that they don't know. And so I think a guy that can come in and be genuine and be at his best can, you know, young players can be good leaders. In my opinion, and I've said this before, you don't have to be extraordinary in any way to lead. You just got to have the courage to do the right thing at the right time for the right reasons and not really worry about the consequences. And there's no reason to say that a young player can't do it as well as an old player. Then you start to lead. And then what we have to do and what Dave has done is we want to put a locker room of more of those guys together. Then they lead one another. Then the culture of your team starts and ends in that locker room.
What's your overall feeling on the draft? You know, you look at the board, you say, okay, these are what six guys we got. What do you come away thinking?
Well, as any GM ever said in this press room, say, we just drafted crappy. Okay?
No.
You know, Jordan, I'm thrilled. I felt like we did really well. You know, again, you're talking about a first rounder in the second round, two second rounders you draft in the third round. We got Kyle where we had him rated, and we had RJ where we had him rated. I mean, I'm thrilled with this draft. I mean, you got big butts, you got power, you got speed. You know, sorry if that was inappropriate.
Is that a single T or a double T?
That's a double T and a capital B. You know. So, and we got a quarterback we really like. So, I'm not angry.
When you look at the roster now, though, what do you like? How much do you still look at it and say, we have a lot of spots we still need to fill?
You know, part of the exercise is creating competition, bringing in players to create competition. You know, listen, you know, the roster process isn't over. It's not over. And you build your roster. Roster building is a 12-month period. You know, so am I happy with where we are right now? Yes. Do we have some needs? Yes. Do I want us to be better? Yes. You know, it takes time. You know, folks, you got to understand, Rome wasn't built in a day. This is a brick-by-brick deal. And at the end of the day, we're going to keep making moves, shake up the back end of the roster until we get it right.
Is any chance one of those moves is trading back into the draft?
I'm sorry?
Is there any chance of trading back into these last two rounds of the draft?
If I was going to do that, would I be sitting here talking to you?
I figure that's what the...
Low percentage.
Did that surprise you about how the draft fell for you, how the board fell for you guys?
No, it really didn't. You know, it's really funny. It was a whole different process than we've done in the past. And, you know, I think that there was some anxious moments when we were a little concerned, you know. But, you know, we sat, we stayed patient, we stayed poised. And, you know, the way the board felt for us, we're just thrilled the way it worked out. There are always, you know, And the other part of it is other teams are looking for different stuff, you know? So, you know, there was a couple nerve-wracking moments, I won't lie, but it fell to us.
How do you balance ranking best player versus need? You talk about this new process, and I'm sure that they go hand in hand, but how did you?
You put a value on the player. You can't overvalue players. I don't know if I ever told you the story, but when I pulled the franchise tag on Josh Norman down in Carolina, anybody in any English-speaking nation knew we needed Connors. Okay? But when we got into the draft room, you know, I told everybody, I said, we are not going to overvalue Connors and go for need. Let me tell you something. Every time you go for need, you're going to be angry with yourself. You're going to be angry because you're reaching. And if you have you're in the second round and you got a second, two guys with second round values, and you reach in the fourth round for a need, I promise you it's going to bite you in the butt.
Dave,
so you don't do it.
Dave,
take two more.
A couple of months ago, there's probably in your mind the chance that you wouldn't be able to be making these decisions at a draft. How much did you enjoy this weekend?
I had a ball. It's fun. You know, just like, it's no different than you guys. Do you like your jobs? Please say yes. You know what I'm saying? Do you like what you do? Please say yes. Tom, just to follow up, somebody said to me, someone that I knew owned a restaurant said to me, man, you got a lot of pressure. I looked at him, I said, and you do too. You got 8,000 people waiting in a line. You got to get the food out. It's got to be quality food, and you got to do this, you got to do that. You know, I crack under that. You don't. You know, it's what you do. I said it, we've talked about it before when Paul, somebody else asked me the same question. You guys have deadlines. You know, you guys have deadlines. The editor's screaming at you, I want 15 articles on Bupkis, okay? And you've got to provide the 15 articles on Bupkis.
Is that Yiddish?
Yes, that is. That is. We're going to get you there, Pat. We're going to get you there.
That's the word of the day.
So the new Yiddish word is Bupkis.
Okay.
So you got to get it done. You can't sit there and scratch your head and claw your eyes out. You got to get down and sit at the computer and get them done. You guys do it. I do it.
How do you have a lot of time now, it seems, before the end of the draft, and I know some teams are very aggressive with the undrafted guys. How do you guys plan on attacking that?
We'll be, Kevin Abrams runs that. You know, he'll be, he's already spoken to everybody. First of all, as Pat likes to say, you don't win a toaster for being the first team to get to 90 players. All right? Our goal is not to get to 90. Our goal is to get to the right players. If we only get to 85, we only get to 85. If we get to 80, we get to 80. I'm not stressed out about it. We will target, excuse me, that was piggish. We will target certain players that we want, and we're going to do our best to go get them. I told you the Andrew Norwell story, Philly Brown story. We'll do that. And that means, you guys understand you've got a undrafted rookie salary cap. You only get X amount of dollars that you can spend. So we will use that as wisely as we can. So we will target guys, if that was your question.
Yeah, it was. Now it's packing.
Yeah, it is true. And
the toaster.
No, I've said that before about other things. You know, some people, whatever it is. You know, you win the toaster if you do something a lot or too much. There's really no context there.
can you explain a little bit? You have two really good defensive tackles here. You draft two more. And just where they fit in this defense, like why is it not a glut of defensive tackles now? Like what is,
let me tell you,
where do these guys fit?
All right, Pat, let me tell you something, okay? You can never have too many good players at a position. You don't reach need. All right? I mean, there was one year in Carolina, we came out, we had 11 defensive linemen on the active. I don't sit there and say, I got to have two of these, three of these, four of these, five of these. When we cut to 53, they will be the 53 best players on our football team, regardless of position. Regardless. And the reason you want, first of all, you want competition, Pat. You know, the fewer guys that you have, guys got to understand, they're not on a scholarship anymore. You got to earn your spot. And you don't want anybody to feel like all they got to do is show up, breathe, get their cleats on properly, and not fall down coming out of the tunnel. Okay? The more competition, the better. You cannot have too many great, good, I won't say great, too many good players at a position, whether it's defensive tackle, quarterback, O-line, I don't care. And the other thing you got to understand is the problem you get into, if you have, and I've seen it a number of times, it was, you know, you have a really good 11 or 12 guys, and you don't have quality depth behind them, what happens is the coaches, and rightly so, don't want to put in the backups that aren't very good, okay? So what happens is guys end up playing 95, 98%. In the fourth quarter, their tongues are hanging. They are gassed. There was a team, you know, so you'll see, let me tell you something right now. You see teams that consistently blow fourth quarter leads, obviously that's on the defense. I promise you they've got no depth. They've got no depth. You have to have quality depth. This is not about here, 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 here. And I'll tell you this. You got a powerful defensive line that and you can get pressure with four, you and I can play back there.
So the bottom line is if you can have a really good draft if you finish 3-13.
Hopefully, when we're 13-3, we're having just as good a draft.